Good morning. It's good to be here. I have a unconventional message this morning. I'm going to ask you to tune in. We'd ask you guys to get papers and pencils available, or pens. And the title of the message this morning is Worship Workshop. I don't want to come across this morning, what I want us to look at this morning is worship. The worship service specifically that we have in church. And I don't want to come across as, now I'm going to walk you through this, and anyone who deviates from the way I lay this out is wrong. But maybe you're sitting here and saying, you know what, I really have a hard time worshiping in church. I want to say, if what you do works for you, then by all means worship the way you do. What do you think of when you see the word worship? When I say worship, does it bore you? Does it thrill you? Maybe the idea or feeling of worshiping, and to tell you the truth, this is where I was at for a long time. Worshiping is something that has always eluded you. I'm not even quite sure what worship means. I mean, I know that we worship God, but what does it mean to worship? I didn't see the sign out front this morning, but it says, unless it's been changed, it says, we seek what we worship. Now, I know we have our day jobs. I know that's something that is unavoidable. We have to spend time working to make a living. That is how God has planned it. That's how we live, and that's part of life. But what do I seek after in my disposable time, my free time? Some of you have, you go to work in the morning, you punch the clock, and then you work until quitting time, you punch the clock and go home. Some of you are farmers or self-employed, and that varies. But you have your obligations. That's not really disposable time. What do you do, what do I do with my disposable time? We seek what we worship. I talked to the instruction class this morning a little bit about the phrase or the verse that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we often take that and turn that to profanity. You know, if someone has a real problem with swearing and cursing and that kind of thing, well, that shows you what's in his heart. What if every time I open my mouth, hunting comes out? That shows you what is the abundance of my heart. Or John Deere tractors, or whatever it may be. Donuts. Well, that's what goes in every time I open my mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. There are those of you that I pretty well know, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but there can be three groups of men, and I can look at this group and say, well, they're probably talking about semis and trucks and machinery. This group is probably talking about hunting or fishing or whatever it might be, that kind of thing, sports. We tend to be full of something. And when our mouth opens, it comes out. What do you think of when you think of the word worship? I'd like to hear some response from you guys this morning. What do you think of when you hear the word worship? What does worship mean to you? Connecting with God. What's that? Love? Love and adore. Okay, love and adore. Reverence.
Praising.
Praising. Overflowing of fullness. Okay. Worship time Sunday morning is Dana preaching. Now I'd like to get some answers. Somebody comes up and says, "Hey, what's on for church tonight?" And you say, "Hymn sing." What's the hymn sing?
Worship.
Worship. Okay, you're getting ahead of the curve here. What do we do at hymn sing? Get together and sing hymns. What's a prayer meeting? Wednesday night is prayer meeting. What do we do? What does that mean?
Pray.
Get together, share prayer requests. We pray. And if you read your bulletin, I guess I'm not even sure how we have it worded. Yeah, morning worship service. 10:30, morning worship service. Sheldon just answered, said, Dana preaching. That's the preaching time. What's praise and worship?
Glorifying God.
Okay, glorifying God. But when we say we're going to have a praise and worship service,
singing.
Okay. I'd like for us to have a praise and worship service this morning. I'm not talking about a certain kind of music or programming. I'm talking about a mode of reverence, a mode of thankfulness, a focusing on Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, for me personally, for you personally. And I also would like for us to do some very practical learning and practicing together of what it means to worship and why we do this thing called church. And here again, let me restate. Because we do things a certain way does not mean there's no other way of doing it. But maybe we can learn together this morning. On a given Sunday, when you sit up front facing this way, during singing, preaching, there are certain levels of mental involvement. There's a wide array of expressions and things going on. Something a little bit humorous I wrote down. I said, some have their eyes closed as we sing and pay close attention to the preaching, while others' eyes wander around while they're singing and close their eyes for the preaching. At what point during the service do I just kind of mentally check out? Or am I tuned in and I'm here to worship holy, holy, holy is the Lord? Did I come this morning to meet God? Or did I come because at Sunday morning between 9:30 and 11:30 or 12, that's where I'm at. That's on my schedule. I have a list of things that I've made that worship consists of. And again, this you're going to have different words you would use. You might have more you would use. Preparation, contemplation, praise, sacrifice, and prayer. I told my wife if it wasn't so clumsy to get this many people out and back in, let's do it mentally, whether we're going to do it physically or not. How many of us prepared ourselves to worship today before we came in the church doors? I don't often do it, I'll have to admit. But the times that I remember to stop my children before we go out the door and say, okay, we're going to church. We're going to worship. Let's have prayer and let's prepare our hearts for going to church. It can be very meaningful times. And something each one of us as fathers and husbands, heads of homes, would do well to make a habit. Job 11, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him. 11:13, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. Amos 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declared unto man, what is his thought? That maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I think the first thing that we need to do to worship is to come to church. And either before coming to church or at church, have a clean heart. I want to open it up for a time of confession and sharing. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. And I need to start with what happened yesterday with me. Those of you that were at the reunion, I got cheated in a game. Blatantly cheated. But I was wrong for getting angry. And I apologize to those of you that were there. That's a terrible example. And it was wrong. And I text the one that offended me this morning and asked forgiveness. And took care of that. And I praise the Lord for that. And that's embarrassing the way I acted, to tell you the truth. I guess you all know that. You saw it. You know it was embarrassing. And I ask you all of your forgiveness. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to confess or share in preparing to worship this morning? I don't know how long the service is going to take. I'm going to try to keep things moving along. So, wow, it's already moving quite along. Okay, sorry.
Every week I get notification of whether or not the regular child support check is supposed to come. And a week ago yesterday, I checked for the notification and it didn't come. And I thought, okay, maybe the system got bogged down over the weekend because it comes on Tuesday. Anyway, all week, every day, I checked online for the notification and it didn't come. And mentally, I just kept going through all sorts of scenarios why it wouldn't come. I didn't really feel like I was panicking or not trusting God. But then yesterday, I got notification that next week's this upcoming check is back on track. It's coming. And the sense of relief I got, it was just like a huge red flag. It was, Tiff, what are you trusting? Who are you trusting? And I had to recognize and go before God that, you know, just a little speed bump, one little check, and my trust and my faith get off track. And I just confess that as sin and ask for forgiveness.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, Tony? Larry? Monica will also be needing a mic then.
Now, as soon as you said that, something popped into my mind, and so I knew it was something I needed to do. But on Friday, when we came here to take pictures, we weren't getting around very promptly to get here. And in fact, when I was here, I was talking to Dana, and I said that I probably sinned on the way here, and I kind of said it half jokingly, but I was thinking about it. I really did. I was very upset with my family and did not act godly, and I want to confess that and repent of that. Ask them to forgive me.
Thank you. Monica, right here in front of you.
You said whatever is in the heart comes out. And I was thinking about most of the words that have been coming out of my mouth lately have been so negative. Most of the time when I speak, I like to recount everything that's wrong with my life, my frustrations and whatever. And I just want to confess that that's a sin against everything that God has given me, because I've been blessed with so much, and I should be praising Him with every word that comes out of my mouth instead of complaining and bemoaning whatever hurts I think that I have. I want to be full of His grace and His mercy, and let that be an overflowing that's coming out of me instead of negativity.
Thank you. Okay, Lynn, right here. Lynn.
God showed me that I had an idol in my life about a week ago. I love to be on Facebook from time to time, and it's not that there's anything wrong with having Facebook, but when you make that a point before you read your Bible, it becomes an idol. And that's what I've been doing, and I confess that to God. And I ask Him to help me to change it. And, it's been a good week. But the temptation's still there from time to time. It's not that I'm not on Facebook anymore, but when I do, it is different. I guess I just ask for you to pray for me on that.
Thank you. Over here.
I think I can pretty much relate to what most of you have said, but the one thing that stands out this morning in our blessing, there was a verse about giving place to the devil, and I would like to confess that in my life I have given place to the devil and becoming angry, being quick to beat somebody down verbally that I feel things are not fair. I guess they're getting the upper hand on me. That's wrong, and I'm really struggling with it. I would like your prayers.
Thank you.
My biggest desire is to be like Jesus, and I've failed often. And one of the things that is hard for me is to be unselfish in my time and for my family. Often I'm busy doing something and I get short with the children, or I think about myself a lot, and I confess that is sin, and I do want to be sacrificial like Jesus was.
Interestingly, what Lynn shared was something that's been on my mind and heart lately too. I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament about the fall of different kingdoms, and all of them point to not worshiping God as they ought. And even when kings of Israel would come and do resurrect the old worship, and the rightful worship, many times it would say, but they did not take down all the high places. And I was thinking about that. I thought, why do we keep hearing that phrase over and over again? How does that apply to me today? And boom, it hit me just like that. It was like, what are the high places in my heart? I will worship God at this level, but what about... And then in our lesson commentary, I talked about this in Sunday school. It says, what we like to think about and talk about reflects whether we are sober or not. And I had to stop and ask myself, what is taking my time, like you're talking about, Dana? Where do I like to go in my quote-unquote time? And it reflects. And I would just confess, too, that there are way too many times when I spend time on frivolous things. You know, it's fun and it's not bad, but is it the best? Mm-hmm. And that's what I need to give to the Lord, and I would confess that, too.
Thank you.
Thursday marks 5 years since I lost my dad. The biggest thing I've been struggling with since then is completely trusting God. It's been a real struggle for me. I ask for your prayers that I can get back on track. It's just... allow myself to get drug into things I shouldn't have never got into. My goal, my prayer is I can get back on track, trusting God better than I have been in the past 5 years.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Why don't you just jot Ike's name down on your paper. Let's lift Ike to the Lord in prayer. Anyone else?
I just want to confess the things that my body and my mind lust after. Satan knows what he can get me to do to fall, and I just want prayer for that.
Thank you.
I'd like to say a little something. We went out to New York this last week for a week to do a project out there, and I was pretty stressed about it. And just before we left, I went to call the guy that we got into a motorcycle accident with, and his daughter answered the phone. And when she found out who it was, he was at the hospital at the time getting ready to go into surgery. And so she told me off. And and hung up the phone. Well, I had that on my mind going out to do some work in New York. And so I had that on my mind, and I went out there, and I had a really bad attitude the whole time I was out there. You know, there was people that know me real good as a Christian, which is Shakun's family. You have Muslims, you have Hindu, you have Christian, and they're used to seeing me handle things fairly well. Well, I couldn't keep a smile on my face for nothing, and my attitude was really bad. Some of the things that I said was, I wouldn't want to, it just discourages me, and... what was lacking? Worship. That's what was lacking. When Martha, when Martha was serving, she was criticized by the Lord, not for serving, but for having lack of patience, and was troubled. And where Mary wasn't troubled because she was at the feet of Jesus. Well, the only book I took out to New York that I thought I was going to read, a couple of books, I never read anything. And I I couldn't make myself do good, you know, to think good. I knew this was a trial. That was coming to me. I knew that. But I couldn't respond to what I knew. And it was because, I believe, of lack of worship. I really felt bad about myself. I really did. That had me down too, so I'll put a plug in for worship.
Thank you. Okay, Faith Ann.
Tuesday evening, Junior and I were at an auction, and when we left the auction, Junior was carrying my lawn chair and two small boxes. There was an Amish gentleman who was pushing a dolly with a table saw on it, and he was having a terrible time. And I told Junior, give me the chair and the boxes, and he should go help him, and he did. He helped them all the way out to his trailer. And they had conversation, and on the way up, the gentleman stopped by me, and he said, and I was sitting on my chair, and he said, I hear you had knee surgery. And I said, yes, I did. And he wondered how I was doing. And I told him, and then he said, my wife has been in the hospital for 2 weeks, and we still don't know what was wrong with her. And right away, I thought of the prayer request that Ada had made here on Wednesday evening. And I said, well, what's your wife's name? And he told me, and it was the same lady. And I said, oh, I said, I prayed for your wife. And then he stopped and he looked at me and he said, well, how do you know my wife? And then I told him what had happened and he said, I have to tell you something. He said, Sunday night, we were in the hospital and he said, my wife had coded the day before and they had gotten her stabilized and he said, I had asked the doctors if we could just gather around, if I could have prayer with her. And he said, I expected everybody to leave the room and they didn't. He said, they gathered around us and we had prayer. And they wanted to do exploratory surgery, but I told them no, that we had already discussed this and we decided that this was not what we wanted. He said, so they took her back to her room. He said, Sunday night we were listening to a Griner webcam, and he said, they prayed for us. Our name was mentioned. And he told me what time that was. I believe it was like 8:57, and he said at 9 o'clock all her vitals stabilized. And he said, and now you tell me that Wednesday night you prayed for her. And he said, she came home Thursday morning. And all the way home I was thinking about this. And I said, okay, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. And the Lord said, Faith Ann, you have been questioning me in answering prayers. And I confess that that is wrong. But the Lord strengthened my heart by what that Amish gentleman had to share with me. And I am so thankful that God cares about what we are struggling with, whether we've even talked to Him about it or not.
Thank you. Maybe here would be a good time to put in a plug for Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Well, I don't want to cut anybody off, but I don't want to beg either. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you for sharing. I want to go on to contemplation, and we'll try to get this wound up, or wound down maybe. Contemplation. Thinking about what God has done for me. Deuteronomy 4, know therefore, verse 39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Focusing, thinking on God. Maybe while I'm doing this, we can try to... What I want you to do with your papers, I would like for you to write down 10 things that you're thankful for. 10 things that you would give God credit for in your life. And that hopefully should not take very long. I hope that there's many times in your life that you think of more than 10. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Psalms 45, verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Okay, now I don't think we'll use the mics this time, but how about we just have some feedback from some of you? What's on your list? Let's give, we went through the confession, the preparation. Let's move into the contemplation, the considering what God has done for us. Let's tell each other what God has done for us. Just forgiveness. Great mercy. God's provision. Life. Health. Holy Spirit. He desires to have a relationship with us, and He calls us saints. His mercies are new every morning. Freedom to worship.
My wife?
Ellen. I remember as kids, we kind of had our evening prayers memorized. And I remember one of the lines was, thank you for food, clothing, shelter, and a free country. And we'd pray for those behind the Iron Curtain. But food, clothing, and shelter. Those three things are things that very many people in the world do without. And I've since added that clean water and clean air. Two more things that we take for granted every day that many people do not know what it's like to have. Okay, the next one on my list is sacrifice. And this is where the ushers can prepare to lift the offering, please. Psalm 66, 13 through 15. Our offering is not just something that pays the bills at church. This is a part of worship. Praise and worship. Psalm 66, 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Are the ushers? Larry was still writing his list. He's a slow writer, but he's doing all right. So I would like for us to think about this morning, as we place our offering in the basket, this is a form of worship. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of our praise and our adoration and our worship. I pray, Lord, that this morning this offering would be received of you. I pray, Lord, that we could worship you in this way, that we could give out of a pure heart and a thankful heart. We bless you, Lord, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I had thought we might spend some time singing this morning. We're running out of time. I don't think we'll do that. But just something that I'll share that I have found to be extremely beneficial and meaningful when I sing is if I can't focus on the words with my eyes open, close my eyes. Think about it. We close our eyes to pray, and we tell our children, close your eyes. And the reason is so there's not distractions. So that we're thinking of God, we're not seeing those things around us. If you close your eyes as you sing, the songs can be so, so meaningful. These songs that we sing, we may know them word for word and take for granted what we're singing. But the people that wrote those songs were under, now I don't want to equate them with Scripture. I don't want to say they're divinely inspired. But they weren't just sitting there noodling and put music to it. They were worshiping. They were songs of devotion, of consecration, of surrender, whatever it may be. And when we sing that, we can join them in worship. The last one I'd like for us to look at is prayer. Psalms 5, 1 through 3, and then verse 7. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Psalms 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Psalm 141. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Here again, we worship by prayer. The prayers of the saints are as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. This idea of lifting up your hands. What do you do with your hands when you pray? When you're alone in your closet. I never shared this with Harold, but I was really challenged. I believe we were anointing Harold at the time. I distinctly remember him sitting on the chair and us praying over him, and he opened his hands to receive. Now, when I lift my hands to the Lord to receive and there's blood on my hands, I can't receive. That is why we come into the house of the Lord with pure hands. But I also think there, it does a lot for us in getting us in the right mode of worship, that when I kneel before the Lord, I open my hands to the Lord and I expect to communicate with Him. And communicate means to share. I give Him worship. He fills me with His Spirit. And there's that two-way flow that goes on with us, between us. And I think it gives a sense of expectancy. It shows God, and I'll tell you, if there's that thing in your life that you're not giving up, and you kneel down and you say, God, give me what you have for me, that's what comes to your mind. That thing that's between you and God. And that's where we need to go back to the start. Confession is good for the soul. I would like to close in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask us to kneel. I wish I would have had more time. Another thing I was going to do in the time that we spent contemplating the Lord, probably an exercise for some of you, you would have said, wow, that was easy. For some of you, what I was thinking, I'll set a timer for 3 minutes. And I'm going to ask each one of us. I think maybe we'll still do that. The food will wait. It's not very far to go. Let's see how hard it is for us to be still before the Lord for 3 minutes. Without looking at our neighbor. Without checking our watch to see if it's 2.5 minutes yet and almost 3. We live in a society where it's boom, 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 boom. Everything has to happen fast or we soon lose interest in it. And I can believe that very soon can affect our prayer life. I'll just be a little bit frank with you this morning. When I was out in the foyer this morning. See, I know that I'm talking about these things. So I did a little research this morning. And when Marcus asked everyone to kneel for prayer this morning, there's a lot going on that's not prayer. Have you ever played that game where You have all the little fish that are on the little circle going around, and you're supposed to catch the fish. They come up, and then they go down, and then they come up, and then they go down. Guys elbowing each other, talking. I don't think that we realize we're standing, kneeling before a holy God when the best thing we have to do is look over the bench at whoever else might be looking over the bench at us. I don't say that to condemn anyone, but it's part of worship, is that we realize just who this is we're kneeling before. Prepare to meet your God. Remember the mighty deeds that He has done. And let us worship. I'm going to ask us to kneel for prayer. And I'm just going to have it quiet for a while. Contemplate whatever it may be, and then I'll close. Lord, we come to You this morning. Lord, we long to worship You. We place You on the highest place. Lord, I pray that this week could be a week of worshiping, that we could go from here practicing the presence of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would work in each heart here. Lord, for those that have that thing they just can't quite whip, or don't want to quit, don't want to give up. For those that struggle, with a besetting sin. Lord, I thank You for those that were able to confess their sins this morning. I pray that You would be with each one. Lord, not that we would feel that now we have attained, that we would press on, forgetting those things which are behind. Lord, our goal in life, our chief desire, our aim is to please You, to bless You, to one day hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, we lift You up. We bless Your name. And we just thank You for who You are. We freely acknowledge, Lord, that You are Lord of all. Jesus, we acknowledge You. We thank You. Lord, I pray for the food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that You would bless our fellowship and our time together, that we could continue to worship You. We thank You. We bless You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.